Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you this morning. Excuse me. As I look about, I see folks who are visiting with us today for the first time, and I want to thank you for being with us today. And folks who have been visiting and coming back, we're especially blessed to have you as well. And we would just like to say that if you're looking for the perfect church family, then we are not it. But we strive to be all that God calls us to be, despite our imperfections and our flaws and our failings. And we would love to have the opportunity to invite you to be a part of our imperfect family here at Brooks Avenue. And if there's anything at all that we can do to help you in that, please speak to me as you leave this morning or at the end of our service today. You know, I will be down front, one of our other shepherds. Please come down front, speak to us. We'll be happy to help you in any way that we can in your spiritual journey and in your walk with Christ. We want to be praying for our Cozumel group. They are on the ground and working already in Cozumel at City of Angels. And you know, this is something that we do every year. They left bright and early yesterday morning. And they will be back, I think, Saturday, is that correct? So let's be praying for that. A group of close to 30 people down there, so let's be praying for them while they're away this week. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, Almighty God, we're so thankful to be here together in your presence today. Father, we're thankful that as we come together, as we lift you up in our hearts, in our songs, in our lives, that you are attentive to our needs, our struggles. We're thankful that we can call upon you as Father, because you are the God of grace, God of love, Father of all mercies. We're humbled by your majesty and your greatness. And sometimes we just grow tired and we stumble and sometimes even fall beneath the weight of our struggles. But we know that you will always be there, not only to lift us, but to lift our burdens and our struggles as well. And so we thank you for this moment in worship when we can acknowledge you for who you are, our loving Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. I wanted to begin with a question for parents this morning. What is your goal for your children? Last week we began a sermon series entitled Inspired Stories of Lived Discipleship. I must say that after Jeff's interview, I was tempted just to sit down during that and just let him take it over from there. I thought he did a marvelous job in sharing his story with us. And today, that's what we're trying to do, is to talk with folks living out their discipleship in different ways. And today, we're going to be talking about discipling our children. Now, I don't have a live interview, an interview with a live person for you this morning, but later on, we'll have the words of a live person to share with you and the message. But I want to come back to that question as we think about discipling our children. What is the ultimate goal that you have for your children? Is it to grow up to become good people, honest people, to find a meaningful career, to become self-sufficient and independent, people who are well-adjusted? Do you want them to become generous, loving, kind people? Do you want them to marry a good spouse, find a good mate, have a beautiful family? I could ask 15 different people and suppose that I get 15 different goals for what you might have in mind for your children. But maybe this will help. Ultimately, our goal as parents should be to raise our kids to be committed followers of Jesus, to be disciples of Jesus. Now, a disciple, as we have defined before, as someone who follows Jesus in obedience to his teachings and conformity to his character. So as this relates to our parental responsibility, then our job is to instruct, is to instruct and nurture our children to be like Jesus as they live out their faith in loving God and loving other people. So bear with me as I point out the obvious. The greatest responsibility that we have toward our children is to provide an environment in our homes in which faith and discipleship are the defining values in our home. In fact, the home is the primary context for the spiritual formation of our children. Now, a lot of folks think that it's the church's primary responsibility to spiritually form and shape our children. That it's the church that has the primary responsibility of faith development and discipling of our children. After all, that's why we have Bible classes, isn't it? And that's why we have children's ministers and youth ministers and campus ministers, right? No. That's not the reason that we have them. The church's role and the faith development of our children is a complementary role, a supportive role, but it does not supplant the primary role of parents. I cannot emphasize that truth enough. The primary role of spiritual formation lies with the home, with the parents. Faith begins in the home, and a number of biblical texts affirm this. For instance, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress these on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and your gates. The nation that God shaped in the wilderness wanderings of Israel is soon to go into the land that God had promised them. 40 years they've been preparing for this moment. Moses is nearing the end of his life. And in an extended speech to all the nation, he reminds them of all that God had done as he led them out of bondage in Egypt and all that God had commanded them. And now, Moses reminds them, be faithful to God. This text in Deuteronomy 6 is a reminder to be faithful to God. And the heart of that reminder is that the Shema, the Jewish creed, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That statement of faith is to be at the heart of every believer, at the heart of every believer in God. That statement of faith is to be at the center of the Jewish family. The Shema is to be at the heart of every home, every parent, every child, and is to be passed from one generation to the next. If the faith of Israel as the people of God is to thrive, that faith that you have, Moses says, now you take that. You live it out in every part of your lives. You think about it all the time. When you lie down, when you get up, everywhere you go, you're thinking about this statement you've just made. The Lord is one. Love God with all of your being. But also, you impress this truth on your children. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, essentially the same truth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Don't frustrate your children. We could go on and on about what that might mean, what that might look like. But the key element here is this exhortation. To bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In the book of Ephesians, in Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, he talks about the glories of the people of God, or the glory of God manifested in his people. And in that context of the church, Paul then goes on to talk about a series of relationships, all that are lived out in the context of being the people of God. He begins with marriage. And then he talks about responsibility of children to parents. And the next relationship is this, that of parents to children, to bring up your children in the instructions and the ways of the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, as Paul writes to his young protege, Timothy, he says, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And this word from Paul to Timothy, note how the pattern of the Deuteronomy text has been lived out in the faith development of Timothy. Timothy, I see that your faith first showed up in your grandmother Lois. And then she passed that faith on to your mother, Eunice. And she has in turn passed that faith on to you. Here are generations of believers living out the instructions of Moses in Deuteronomy 6. What these texts affirm is that the faith development and the discipling of children is first and foremost the responsibility of the home. And that responsibility cannot be abdicated to the church, although it often is. Parents, understand this. You are the most influential people in your child's life. So let me offer some suggestions as you seek to nurture your children to be followers of Jesus. So first, let's understand that family discipleship is to be a way of life. We're not talking about a program. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses was talking about a way of life in the home, where faith is lived out, where faith is the subject and the topic of conversations at the dinner table and in every place, where faith is obvious, where faith is lived. And as we think about discipleship in the context of family, let's ask ourselves, just what do our family conversations tend to focus on? What do they center around? Is it about what's going on at school? Or is it about how Jesus can be seen in you, my child, as you are at school? See family discipleship as a way of life. I hear a lot, in my role, I hear a lot about the state of our country. I hear about the removal of prayer from our classrooms, and frankly, that really does not bother me so much. I don't think all of our problems, you may disagree, that's fine. This is a free country. You have the right to be wrong. I understand that. The problems do not begin with the removal of prayer from classroom. I'm telling you, there's a lot of prayer that goes on in classrooms. Every day that there's a test, there's a lot of praying going on. And it really does not bother me so much about prayer or the absence of prayer in our classrooms. You know what does bother me? The lack of prayer in our homes. Parents praying with their children, modeling to their children what it's like to have a vital relationship with the Father of Heaven. Family discipleship is a way of life. Prayer, study of the Word, conversation, the sharing of mutual struggles. A second suggestion. Feed your own growth. Take care of your own spiritual life. You cannot expect your children to be what you are not. You cannot impart to your children what you do not have. Does that make sense? Take care of yourself spiritually. Nurture your own relationship with Christ. Be sure that you are following Jesus, striving to be like Him in every way. Take care of yourself. Third suggestion. More than teach by example, remember that your example teaches. Do as I say, not as I do, just won't cut it. I remember in the congregation where I grew up, there was a deacon in the church there. And I remember after going there following college to do my first ministry as an associate there, him making the statement that as long as my children put their feet under my table, they will be at church. And as soon as their feet were not under that table, where do you think they ended up? Not in church. Why? Because they never saw in that man gentleness, kindness, the love of Jesus, care for others, compassion. What they saw was legalism, harshness. A father who never smiled or laughed with them. So as soon as they grew up, took their feet out from underneath this table, off they went. Never to set foot in church again. So what can you expect of our children, for instance, when I make sure that they're at worship, that they're at church, or when I teach them certain spiritual truths, and then they hear me gossiping about someone else at church. Or they hear me demeaning someone else. Or an entire people group. More than teach by example, parents, remember that your example teaches. And a fourth suggestion. Connect them deeply with the church. Now, doesn't that kind of undermine what you said earlier, Dennis? Absolutely not. What I said earlier was that the church provides a complementary, supportive role for your primary responsibility to disciple your children. Doesn't mean the church is not essential or the church is not important. It is important for your children, as you disciple them, to understand that faith is lived out in community and that we all need each other if we're to be the people that God has called us to be. We need each other. I was recently reminded of the essential importance of these biblical truths that we've been talking about and these suggestions I've just shared with you. When a mother shared this story about her daughter, one day shortly before Easter, her daughter created a card for a friend from the neighborhood. Her friend's family does not know God or celebrate anything other than the bunny for Easter, she said. On the front of the card, she drew a picture of a hill with three crosses, the middle cross being larger than the others. She wrote on the bottom of the card, "Jesus died on the cross to take our sin." On the inside of the card, she drew Easter eggs and the cross. And then she wrote, "I hope you find lots of Easter eggs, but don't forget who gave us Easter. It was God." Now, when I first heard that story, the thought that ran through my mind was that these are parents who are doing a wonderful job of discipling their children. And so I asked them to share with me some of the routines and some of the practices that they use in shaping the faith of their children. And what I'm about to share with you now is the mother's response to my request. She writes, "This is something that is a constant work in progress in our home and seems to adapt frequently as the children grow and mature. We want to weave Jesus into our everyday, in the big things, but also in the little things." I love that. We want to weave Jesus into our everyday. Here are just a few ways, she writes. First, daily prayers, morning, meals, bedtime. Another part of their routine, bedtime Bible story and talk. And she said, prolonging bedtime is usually when the deep questions come out. Third, singing hymns and songs with our children and to our children. It can happen at bedtime. It can happen while we're in the car driving. Next, writing God's word on their hearts through scripture memory. Helping their children to memorize scripture. I thought that had become a forgotten practice. She continues, gratefulness, thankfulness, asking, "Where did you see God today?" Making it a habit to give thanks to God for all the good things that happened or all the things that He created. Next, making prayer an ongoing conversation with God. Are you worried? Let's pray. Are you happy? Let's thank God. Have you done something wrong? Let's confess it to God. Next, authenticity. Letting the kids see that I need Jesus. Goes back to that example thing I was talking about. Allowing the children to see my own struggles and to hear me pray through them, pray through my struggles. Confessing and asking them for forgiveness when I mess up with them. And she continues, now, spending time together just to talk about everything under the sun. It doesn't have to be structured. It just needs to be intentional. And then praying Oh, I love the sweetness of this image. Praying over our children after they go to sleep at night. Wow. And then she writes, "By no means do I think we have it all together, far from it. We need Jesus daily. It's not about what I'm doing with the children. It's about what God is doing in and through me. Parenting is a privilege and a responsibility to train our children in the Lord. But parenting is also a refining of my own heart," she writes. "Every day, my own shortcomings are laid bare, and I learn to lean into Jesus a little more and a little more. We pray that He will continue to soften our hearts and to use us to grow His kingdom." End quote. I could have just read all that and that been the sermon. And you're thinking, amen. Why didn't you? I believe that these parents get it. And they're doing all that they can to make sure that their children get it. And may their example inspire all of us who are parents to get it. To get what it means to disciple our children. Brian's going to lead us in an encouragement song in just a moment. And I'd like to ask you to pray with me one more time as we go to God in prayer for our parents. Father Almighty God, You are Father. And You are also Mother to us all in Your tender love for us and Your nurturing and care for us. And as we think about what it means to teach and instruct and nurture our own children to become like Jesus, I ask You, Lord, to be with all of our parents. In this world, in this culture, it is such a difficult thing to parent our children and to shape our children spiritually. So many things vying for our attention, vying for the hearts of our children. But help them to be faithful, Father. I ask You to lift up their hands when they feel like falling. I ask You, Father, to lift up their hearts when they become discouraged and frustrated. I ask You to lift up their spirits, Lord, when they feel defeated. I pray for our parents that in everything that they do, everything that they say, they will weave Jesus into the fabric of their lives. And thank You for the love, the ultimate love that You have shown us in our Lord and Savior and our brother, Jesus. We offer this prayer in His precious name. Amen. And if we can help you in your spiritual walk in any way, please share your need with us. Let's stand and encourage each other in song.